selling and publishing. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program that's designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first Saturday of every month.
Hey, good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. And today I have a very special guest. He's the director of product at Breach Secure Now. His name is Chris Gross. Welcome.
Hey, Felicia. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to pop some paradigms here, I think, in our show. And I had some rhyming going on here with this title called What You Need to Do to Be Ready to Survive and Thrive in 2025. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So this is, I think, not specific to any particular industry. In fact, I might even go so far as to say, if I've got a one-user business, like maybe a real estate agent or a real estate broker, I think everything that we say is going to be directly applicable to them as well. Absolutely. So I just want to give I want you to kind of set the stage, just tell people very briefly about Breach Secure Now, you know, how long you've been around and, you know, the general gist of what IT service providers can do with your tools.
Yeah, sure. Breach Secure Now is the leader in cybersecurity, compliance, productivity, and AI training. We've been around for the past 10 years helping IT service providers, MSPs, educate their clients, and specifically their clients' employees in all of those areas. Big focus at Breach Secure Now is continuous education. A big differentiator from other education platforms out there is we believe in continuous weekly training for businesses and employees. We believe that's the best way for people to learn and retain information, but also stay up to date, especially in the technology world where things are constantly changing. You need to have regular updates and you need to have this information in front of your mind. So one of the big things that we do at Breach Secure Now is that continuous education.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that these other products that are on the market that do the once a year cyber training, it doesn't move the needle at all. It doesn't really improve people's awareness. On the other hand, every time we've implemented Breach Secure Now at a client, we see not only very happy customers, but also real substantial positive improvements in overall organizational awareness of everything, whether it be AI, productivity training, their cyber awareness. I actually see a lot more accountability getting driven in the organization too. So we use your tool in, I think, a bit of a special way. And I'm very focused a lot on empowering managers within organizations to be the ones who are driving that accountability. I found something really interesting in my CISO CTO work. And it's that end users at most organizations will like to blame technology for the reason that they're not getting their job done. And if, however, their line manager, so their direct supervisor, if their direct supervisor has the know-how, now that doesn't necessarily translate to technical skills, it's just they need to know what's bullpucky and what's not. And so if that manager knows, oh no, actually, you know, our phone system training is over here. Or, oh no, this is actually our company's policy about ABCXYZ, right? So if the manager actually is empowered to know what the answer is, then they can just stop that drama with that one employee right then. And I found that the appropriate implementation of BSN, we're gonna call Breach Secure Now BSN here, it empowers the managers. And I've even sat down with HR managers and devised development plans for individual troublesome employees that incorporates some of the things from BSN, some of the things from some other productivity training that we have, and, you know, some other factors like, okay, we're going to see you, you know, reduce your mailbox size by 25%, you know, somebody who's a problem child email hoarder.
Yeah. Here I am.
but I can say that I've been in this industry for about 30 years now, and it's been fairly rare for me to find a tool that from an IT perspective, from a CTO, CISO perspective, is so effective at actually empowering the end users and empowering managers to be effective with managing their team. So I really congratulate you with doing that. So to shift a bit, going into this survive and thrive in 2025 bit, I feel like this is so much about anybody who was not already working really hard at being operationally mature, meaning we have policies. We're not doing theater. We're doing real stuff. Like if you say you have cybersecurity, do you actually have cybersecurity, right? You can't have technical controls if you don't have policies. And I know this is a big struggle that a lot of organizations have. And your platform has not only a bunch of templates in it, but it has a very nice policy management system. So I've talked to HR managers and I'll say, hey, you don't need a separate policy management system. There's one right here. Just, please use it. Mm-hmm. So I love that aspect of it. And then you guys, I think very proactively, started doing a bunch of AI training. And you started doing productivity training. And I love the nanos of, you guys, when did you spearhead this whole thing of the Teams integration with BSN?
Yeah, so really at the end of last year, the end of 2023 is where we started our journey in integration with Microsoft Teams, but also the productivity and AI training in shorter segments that we call nanos, right? So these are 60-second videos, so real quick hits that we release multiple of on a weekly basis, one for each topic, Microsoft, AI, cybersecurity. But we started that really this year to go along with our cybersecurity training. And it's exactly the statement that you said earlier on its head. You said, some employees will raise their hands and say, oh, technology is holding me back from doing my job effectively. Well, that's exactly what we want to change the attitude of at Breach Secure Now completely. A lot of people, I'm sure a lot of your clients, Felicia, spend a lot of money on Microsoft 365 licenses, right? Breach Secure Now, we use ChatGPT and we spend money on professional licenses for that so we can protect our data. But you're investing in these technologies. And if you're not educating your employees on how to use those technologies effectively, you're missing something there. And
Your risk is going up because they're not going to use it correctly.
They're not going to use it correctly. And that's the other half of it, right? You need to educate them on how to use it effectively, proficiently, but also securely. So that we do both sides of it here at BSN. If you're doing education without either one of those sides, you're definitely missing something, right? If you're just educating on how to use something securely, well, you're not getting the full benefit of the product and how much it could help your business. If you're only educating on how to use the product proficiently, you're not educating about what the risks are that exist within that product, within the Microsoft 365 suite or, within AI, especially as the advance of AI change and the technology evolves.
I just also want to commend you guys on the accuracy of your material. I think in the many years that I've been using your platform, there was one question on one test one time that I thought was maybe not the best answer, but otherwise the rest of the time it's accurate. I totally agree with the answers. So I think that's a pretty high success right there. So I love your newsletters as well. You guys do newsletters, and there's another little tool that you have that I use the heck out of. I love it. And I've incorporated it as part of the job candidate assessment process. You have a cybersecurity assessment piece, and I found it to be a very good delineator. And because it's a formal assessment, you can, from an EEOC compliance perspective, be very confident in using it because you're consistently using the same process for, so I just incorporated that in a couple other assessments that we do, and it's just part of the platform. So I'm like, why not use it, right?
Yeah, Absolutely. You need that baseline, and you need to also, especially when it's a new candidate or somebody that's just joined your organization for the first time, it's really important to show that new employee or soon-to-be employee, show them that you have a cybersecurity-focused culture, show them that you have a culture of education, because the next piece after they do the assessment and they get their results back is, okay, well, you got to take some training, right? Now, here's where you have room for improvement. So really important to get that across really early and start that education with them very early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go back to the training piece in that your tool is the only tool that I've actually seen really move the needle on cultural change. And I mean, in a positive direction. What I mean by that is it's a bigger uplift for an organization to establish this cultural change on their own and then go and say, oh, well, we have to get like this training tool and then that training tool, or they're trying to boil the ocean. Like maybe they got to go get some big enterprise grade learning management system. You know, okay, that works if you have 10,000 employees and you have the budget and the complexity for that. But that isn't practical for the vast majority of businesses that are out there. So the weekly aspect and also the integration with teams does make it so a person can consume the minimum, but they can also have more. And it's the nano trainings are not mandatory, whereas the micro trainings are mandatory, and certainly the annual trainings are mandatory. There's some, the productivity training is optional, I think, still. But you know, you didn't talk yet about the dark web stuff, and I did a whole other podcast on how are we improving the overall cyber posture of employees, where I was talking about this convergence of data in the platforms that the people already have access to, and how do you present, so rather than it being an IT problem, but how do you present directly to that end user? How do you empower them specifically to resolve whatever their risk is? And we use Keeper Security on the password manager side, and in there it has a breach watch component. And I love that piece because it's telling the end user right now, hey, you've got a problem right now with this thing right now. And in your guys' platform, you take that dark web data and you make it, hey, you, there's a problem for you. Yes, you, Joe, not this, not just general, right? It's hey, you know, Joe, Bob, it's you. And then there's something practical that comes out of that, and it's that they have to go through some additional training, and it's then also a mechanism where that liability management is being addressed because the organization has proof of an attestation that the employee said, I agree, I'm going to behave in these more secure manners and such and such. So why don't you talk a little bit about that and, you know, fill in details maybe I've missed out on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's great practice for an employee to go and change their passwords right away as soon as they know that they're on the dark web and a password's been compromised. So we'll do that at BSN, is we'll let them know if they've been involved in a data breach, and we'll let them know what the platform was, and then we'll give them the tip, go and change your password. But we go above and beyond in doing additional training, because it's not just enough to change your password when it comes to dark web breaches. When it comes to the dark web, a lot of times in these breaches, I'll use an old breach just to give an example of something that a lot of data was compromised in, a LinkedIn data breach, right? There's a ton of other personally identifiable information that was compromised in that breach. Things like your role in the organization, the company you're working for, maybe personal information like addresses could get compromised. All of this information can be used in sophisticated scams against you, like spear phishing. And if you don't know that that information is out there and you don't know that you have additional risks because of that information being out there, then how are you going to protect yourself? So it does help to keep that, again, front of mind, continuous education. So they are being reminded every time they have a breach and there's other information that was potentially compromised in this breach. Here's the information that was compromised, and here's how you can protect yourself. Continue to do training on phishing, continue to to stay up to date on what the latest scams are and how this information is being leveraged. But I think that's a big piece that a lot of people miss when it comes to the dark web, is you absolutely need to go and change your password right away, but you also need to realize that there's other risks and of that information being out there too.
Yeah, so this is a super duper important, I just want to like circle a highlight around this, is that when you're determining tools to use for things, they have to be tools that implement the right process. And that process has to be end user empowerment. It can't be, well, we're going to send a report to the IT department, and then the IT department is going to chase down the manager to try to get some time from that end user. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Okay. I mean, like, that hasn't worked in the last 30 years. So that's, I think, another spectacular piece about what we've been able to accomplish with BSN is that extreme empowerment.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the reasons that we use Keeper as well, is extreme empowerment. How do you empower each individual end user in the organization to not only be accountable, but to take that friction away to them having effective learning, having effective understanding, having it be forefront of mind? You know, you were talking about, you know, it's weekly at a minimum, and that the dark web data that's presented to them, it's unique to them. It's specific to them. It's not just generic to the company. And that's actionable versus other methods are not necessarily that actionable. And because it's this empowerment of the end user, the boil the ocean problem that IT has doesn't exist. The boil the ocean problem that managers would otherwise have, that doesn't exist either. Like, you know, so a process where you get a report, IT looks at the report, they do something with the report, they send it to a manager. I mean, this is like just, you know, get a brick and smack yourself with it. Like, this is not a process that works in any organization. And so I'm so glad that you guys, you know, empowered us all to be able to bust out of that mold.
People are your strongest asset, right? The people that are in your organization. And a lot of times your payroll is one of your biggest investments. You know, you are spending a lot of money, so it's worth leveraging your employees, but also upskilling them to be able to protect themselves, protect your organization, but also do better at what they're already doing, right? Do their jobs better. And at the same time, can we keep them happier too? Because people like to learn, right? People like to do better at their job. And if you can upskill them, give them the training that they not only need, but they actually want, that's going to lead to retention too. That's going to lead to happier staff, and that's going to overall create that positive culture that we're looking for in employees.
You know, I love that you brought up this whole thing about payroll, because that's like, and I should have said it myself earlier, but you know, great minds think alike, because I harp on this all the time. Like, and I got to tell you this story. So head client, who, of course, we deployed BSN. Of course, we have our own other productivity training portal that we provide. We have our own knowledge base with a bunch of stuff that we publish. We have our own Vimeo channel that's like embedded in that, right? So, I mean, like, we're very training and empowerment heavy. And despite this, there was an office that was struggling. So I get authorization from, you know, the big honcho to go over there and basically spend half a day with the staff. And 100% of the things that they were, air quote, having problems with were all things that were in the published user manuals, the published training, and all of that. And then I observed them at the end of the day with their thumbs up their backsides for the last 15 minutes of the day. And, you know, joking around, messing around, whatever. And I go and I ask them, I'm like, so is this about, you know, your normal pace of the day every day? And they're like, oh yeah. Yeah. The last 15 minutes of the day is just totally, you know, and I said, okay, so why aren't you doing training for the last 15 minutes of the day every day? All right. So now this is going to floor you. Well, because our supervisor says that sales is the most important thing, and everything else comes secondary to sales. So now to your point, Chris, how cost-effective, how valuable is that payroll to that company?
Yeah.
When they have, not only they had to pay me to be there half the day, to train people on stuff that they should have learned on their own. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Right.
That because the manager was sending the wrong cultural message, a whole bunch of that payroll is wasted all the time. And so I love your point about that. If they don't have that cultural attitude towards training,
yeah,
and couple that with the accountability, we give you this training, we expect you to know these things. You know, we pay for these tools for you to be able to use to do your job. We expect you to be able to competently use them and in accordance with policies.
Yeah. And, you know, Felicia, to your point, right, those 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the day is way more than enough. You know, BSM, we're recommending, when we say weekly training, a lot of people get scared. They're like, am I going to really spend hours of my staff's time on a weekly basis? And that's not what we're asking at all, right? We're talking about 5 to 10 minutes a week, because what we've found over 10 years of doing this is to get somebody to learn, get interested in something, to get them some new information, keep them up to date, and then keep a topic relevant. All you really need is 5 to 10 minutes a week to get them a quick topic, right? Get them something that'll keep their attention. If you're going to be telling them to go to an hour training, how much of that training are they really going to retain anyway? Right? What we found is that it's much easier to give quick tips, 5 to 10 minutes in a nano training or micro training, as we call them, and that's much easier to keep their attention the entire time, get them interested in a topic where they can go and learn more if they want to, and then the next week give them another relevant topic that's going to keep, again, bring it to front of mind. So you don't need to have, you know, hour-long trainings. That 5 to 10 minutes or the 10 to 15 minutes that you saw them wasting at the end of the day, or I always say, you know, the small talk that you always have at the beginning of meetings, if you go and you cut that in half, you have more than enough time that you can just allocate it on your direct reports calendars and say, hey, I'm going to block off 10 minutes of your week every single week to go do training. I'm going to go block off a half hour. And you're going to start to see returns when it comes to productivity if you can actually set that aside, encourage them to go take the training, go be successful with it. And then, you know, we like to say carrot and stick, make sure they're hitting those minimum requirements, but also reward the people who are going above and beyond.
Well, and as a manager, I have less hassle and my payroll is spent more effectively when I don't have disciplinary issues to deal with and when I don't have staff contacting me about, you know, something doesn't work or I don't know how. You know, and so the reason that we love to promote the 15 minutes a day is because that, I think, is the ideal. And we're not only suggesting that our customers consume the BSN content, right? We're also requesting that they consume our knowledge base and other productivity trainings, and also to stay on top of their company's policies.
Sure.
I mean, there's just like a copious amount of things that, to your point, we can get their attention on them if it's a bite-sized chunk. So it's like we have to, as human beings across the board, learn how to take things that initially may seem unpleasant, like, oh, I got to do training. And initially, people are going to look at it as a waste of time. Oh, I got to do this training. And we have to kind of do two things to it. One is we're not going to boil the ocean. So it has to be bite-sized. And the other thing is it has to be fun. And I like that your system allows for, you know, scoring. There's, you know, internal company kind of competing that can go on because people get scored and they can kind of see, you know, if they know what the secret handle is of their coworkers, they can see their relative ranking. And I think that's also something that empowers the managers, because as a manager, you could look at that and you can say, okay, I've got 10 direct reports and 9 of them are not having any problems. Yeah. So what's wrong with this one? And then if you have that employee who's saying, well, you know, blah, 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 the technology is the reason I'm not getting my job done, this just is not holding water. Because, you know, gee, 90% of my staff can figure it out. You can't just come in here with a blanket excuse. So I bring this up because I feel like use of the right platforms, also really helps the manager a lot. You know, you were talking about how managers have this objection where they're like, oh my gosh, it's going to cost the company this much money in payroll to have people do that. And to your point also, no, they're already wasting that time. That payroll's already been lit on fire. I think they need to be real about the amount of wasted payroll that's going on. If they really want to know what people are doing, they're going to have to go get a tool like ActiveTrack.
Right. The word waste, right, is definitely not the right word at all, because you can see over time, and they have to trust this process, but there is an ROI to this, right? And we've seen a lot of studies that out there that organizations that have comprehensive training programs, they are making more money back per employee than their employees, like I said before, happier and more effective at their job. So,
well, I'm completely on board with that. I totally, completely agree.
Yeah.
The cultural shift to be training focused, saying, okay, great, sales is important. Customer service is important, doing your projects, doing your tickets, doing whatever. Okay, all that stuff is important. I get it. But we all have to be adults here, and you need to figure out how to get your allocated training in. And it's not a boil the ocean problem. You don't have to like figure out how am I going to find time in my schedule to go to this 2-week offsite class. Like, that's not the ask. The ask is this tiny amount of time per week or this tiny amount of time per day. And it's just from an integrity and a legal defensibility process, I would much rather be in the situation where I have all these beautiful reports that say that we actually have a real training program, not just this theatrical stuff that's happening once a year. So I want to kind of wrap it up on the, you guys have a wonderful product called the Security Risk Assessment, and your HIPAA product is even slicker. So like if somebody is a HIPAA regulated organization, I think they should absolutely go find a BSN partner and absolutely go and start using that product for that only. I mean, if that's the only thing that they use out of it, it would totally be worth it. So for the rest of everybody else in non-HIPAA regulated entities, you guys also have a security risk assessment. It's a once a year process and you update it every year. And I find it to be so helpful in putting company management in a position of having a better sense of understanding where they're deficient or what they're doing good at. So why don't you give us 2 minutes on that?
Yeah. So, the risk assessment, fairly easy process for it. And like you said, something you got to do every year. You go, you fill out a questionnaire just about your organization, and then we're going to give you a report that just talks about how can I go and improve my organization? What are the recommendations in order for me to improve my cybersecurity state? One of the things that we do with our risk assessment, just like you were talking about before with our training, is we don't tell you to go boil the ocean and go address every single recommendation. We actually give you a work plan, and you can come back throughout the year, the following year, right? Or, the current year and following year, and you can go and address the recommendations one by one, and you can actually track your progress to them. And from a HIPAA side, right, this is what auditors want to see, is that you're making progress towards it. And then some of these things, they're technical, physical, and administrative. So some of these, it's not going to be just overnight. It's going to take a while to do. So you can actually track your progress, and we give you templates to help you address some of them. So again, you don't need to boil the ocean with this. We give you a clear path to help you quickly start knocking some of this stuff off make that easy.
And it's not an IT function. The platform facilitates a person or a couple people in the organization who have the right role to actually do that. And if IT needs to help out, IT can help out. So again, I really love that empowerment piece, but we've talked long enough. Thank you for your time, and maybe we'll do part two of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Felicia, and have a happy new year.
You too.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first Saturday of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, go to her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support for WGTD comes from the Lake Geneva Symphony, celebrating their upcoming gala.